Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us draw near to you with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let your word dwell in us richly, God. Fill us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing you, and being fruitful in every good work. And by being renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we put our tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with, forgiving one another, that we dwell together in the unity of the faith, recognizing those who labor among us, esteeming them highly in love for their work's sake. I pray we all speak the same thing with no divisions among us, O God, standing fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith, that we're not carried about with various and strange doctrines, but we study rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're not murmurers, complainers, walking after our own lusts, but as rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. I pray that the whole body be knit and joined together and that every part does its sharing, causing growth to the body of Christ. As each one has received a gift, let him minister it, looking out for the interests of others. Let us all verbally love one another with a pure heart so that we do not lose the things we have worked for, God. Let us become serious and watchful in our prayers, redeeming the time. For the days are evil, running with endurance the race that is set before us, setting our minds on things above and not on things on the earth, but pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of you, O God, putting on the whole armor of you, God, that we may stand against the devil, that we will speak forth your word with great boldness, and that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that the signs and the wonders may be done in the name of your Son, Jesus. Oh, God, on tonight, oh, Father, we come to you with an even more special prayer, oh, God. Lord, we come to you as humble as we know how, God. God, we pray for all those in Baltimore, Maryland right now, God. The looters, the rioters, oh, God. The authorities, the policemen, oh, God. The families of Mr. Freddie Gray, oh, God. Father, Lord, we just pray that, Father, God, you calm the minds of the people, oh, God. Enter, Father, God. Let the peace that surpasses all understanding, oh, God, cover their city, oh God. Let them come, Father God, to a solution that pleases the people, oh God. Let them not overlook the demands of the people, oh God, but let not anger and destruction be the answer in this time, oh God. Lord, let your glory and your love be shown in Baltimore right now, oh God. God, we just speak to the spirit of the thing, oh God. Let justice come forth, oh God. Let justice be served, oh God. Let the family grieve, oh God, in peace, oh God, on tonight, oh Father. As we stand with them, oh God, let the life of this young man, God, not be in vain, oh God. But Lord, you are the way maker, oh God, and you are, Father God, you bring the final decision, oh God. Father, we ask that you move on the hearts of the authoritative figures, oh God. Let this young man, Father God, case not just be another one lost, oh God. But let the family get the answers that they seek, oh God. And let every son sleep peacefully, oh God. Let the authority be the authority, oh God. Let them walk in a way that's pleasing unto you, oh God. And God, we even speak now, remove whomever you got to remove in this season, oh God, that our young men may be safe again, oh God. Lord, let your will be done. Have your way in this situation, oh God, because there is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for you, nothing too great for you, oh God. So God, we turn it over to you, oh God, Lord. Lord, let the business owners, Father God, let them be reimbursed all that has been torn up, Father God. Oh God, just let your peace reign over that city on tonight, oh God. We stand on one accord and we stand together, oh God, for the lost, the hurt, Father God, the faint and the weary in Baltimore City, oh God. Let anger and destruction not have the last say. But God, you have the last say. You have the last say, oh God. And Lord, we speak peace. We speak peace. We speak peace right now over the city of Baltimore, Maryland. In the name of Jesus, oh God. God is somewhere faster. Get the glory out of this, oh God. But let us not lose one more life to faultiness of the authorities, oh God. Let us not lose one more daughter, oh God. Not one more son, oh God. Lord, let us not lose one more, Father God, to the vein of the authority, oh God. But Lord, have your way even in this, oh God. Lord, we believe and trust in you, and you still sit on the throne, and you rule and you reign. Let the peace that passes all understanding blanket Baltimore. In the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. We give God all the glory and all the praise that's due his name. Glory to God. I want to thank you all for tuning in to TKD Global Radio and Broadcast. I know my voice sounds a little bit hoarse. Amen. I've been celebrating with my father and spiritual mother in the faith at the 25th anniversary for the last three Sundays. And I can't even apologize about this. Amen. I've just been in prayer. Glory to God. So my voice could be hoarse for many reasons right now. But that's okay with me because I can still get a word out. So you're tuned in to TKD Global Radio and Broadcast, coming to you live from the Washington, D.C. area, Waldorf, Maryland. Here I am on the right side of Barack and Michelle. Amen. Glory to God. And I have a great show for you tonight. Listen, I want to just thank you guys because this is my online broadcast radio, and I started this in 2012, and it was phenomenal. and I took a break and I came back to it. And I'm not the kind of person that watches numbers, but let me just tell you, God has really blessed this online radio and broadcast. I mean, you guys, listen, don't think not one minute I'm not grateful every Monday night when you tune in to Relationship Monday and every Thursday to Work the Word Thursday. And we just started this year, and the number of you that tune in, and I know some of you are my silent followers, and I love you as well, even if you never say a word. I just want you to know that my heart fills up every time, glory to God, they send me a report from this broadcast. And I'm always going to bring you high quality. I'm always going to, scout out only the best speakers that's authentic, not talking something they don't live or they don't believe, glory to God. And so I thank you for that, and I thank you for trusting me with your ears, glory to God, because I'm the kind of person, I don't just listen to everything. I definitely don't just listen to everyone. When I listen to something, I'm looking for some substance, glory to God. I'm looking for something I can apply to my life. And even if I can't apply it to my life in that time, I hold on to it and apply it to my life whenever God say so. And so when you tune in every Monday night like you do faithfully, and every Thursday night, like you do faithfully, let me tell you, I always push the glory up to God, amen, because it is only him that allowed me to do what I'm able to do. Just like you, I'm just a vessel. And the only thing I tell people, I'm just doing my part. We all have a part. I have a hashtag that says, we are the body of Christ, because we are. Glory to God. Some of us are the arms. Some of us are the fingers. Some of us are the toes and the legs. But it don't mean one is greater than the other, because at the end of the day, Jesus is the head. And the reality is, you are valuable to the body of Christ. You are needed. You are necessary. And don't let anybody tell you different. We need you in the body of Christ. Amen. Also, today in prayer, the Lord was dealing with me this morning. I have a great broadcast. I love listening to certain things people send me, and then I'll download and listen to it over and over and over. So tonight I have a pre-recording from, T.D. Jakes. It's a special word to just really encourage women, because it really encouraged me. But let me just go back to this right quick. This morning I was in prayer, like I am every morning, in prayer and meditation with the Lord. And the Lord began to deal with me with homosexuality, and he gave me a word for those who may be living a homosexuality lifestyle and things of that nature. So listen, if you have a Facebook page, I want you to go on my Facebook page after the broadcast, and you will see the video that I uploaded. It's called Homosexuality, Where is My Son and Daughter That I Created? Glory to God. If you know someone who's dealing with that, watch that video, and the point of it is to just really encourage you. Glory to God. If you hear some background noises, that's my Pomeranian. Then outside my back door, I got some construction going on. So I apologize in advance about the noise, okay? I'm also on my Facebook page. It's LaSandra Coleman. There's another video on there that I uploaded this morning. The Lord gave me a prophetic word in an open vision on Sunday morning. And he said, daughter, you want to know something that's worse than death? Death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. If you want to know what that is, I just encourage you to go on my Facebook page right now, because that video is on there as well. So today is Monday, April the 27th, and I want you to look at both of the videos, what the Lord showed me in a prophetic word and an open vision. He took me to a supernatural realm, and he showed me this, and that video is on there. And then the video about the homosexual lifestyle. Glory to God. So listen, let's get right into this, because this is such a great encouragement. I saw this video, and I mean, it really encouraged my spirit. I'm like, you know what? Okay, I am going to have this particular message on my show, because it encouraged me. And I said, well, I know it's going to encourage my global audience. So listen, it's not just for women, men. So I want you to listen to this, because T.D. Jakes gave some great points on what he was saying. It was just really encouraged by David. So listen, we're going to go right into the broadcast. Go ahead and get your paper and pen, okay? And I'll talk to you right after it goes on.
And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with him. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came unto the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive. But when the child was dead, you got up, got something to eat. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. I want to go back to, I think, the 15th verse. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David. And it was very sick. It's interesting, isn't it? Go to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1. St. Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Right after Malachi. You with me? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. This is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begot Ezron, and Ezron begot Abraham, and Abraham begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Solomon, and Solomon begot Boaz, and Boaz Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Bear with me, I'm having a little trouble with my throat. Maybe because the enemy doesn't want me to share this word with you. I want to teach how to live with what you can't live down. How to live with what you can't live down. It is odd to me. Well, let me pray with you first. I don't know why the Lord's got me on this track. But I guarantee you, there's not a woman in this room. This is a broad statement, because there's a lot of different women in this room. But there's not a woman in this room that don't have a secret. There's not a woman in this room that doesn't have something that you don't want everybody to know that could damage how people perceive you or your children. I'm preaching to the choir when I talk to you, because you're secret keepers. If your mama's your secret keepers, if your wives your secret keepers, if you're living, you're a secret keeper. And yet, no matter how many secrets you have, there are certain things that the enemy uses to terrorize you, to threaten you, to intimidate you, to humiliate you, to disgrace you. How do we live with those things that we can't live down? Now, if you haven't lived long, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've been here long enough to see a turnip rot, you understand what I'm saying, that life will throw you a curveball sometimes, and you got to live with stuff because things don't always go the way you planned them. Kids don't always turn out the way you planned them. You make mistakes along the way, and you didn't turn out the way you planned it, and yet you got to be able to live with it because you can't change what happened. Am I right about it? I want you to think along those lines while I'm teaching because I have a word for you that I believe is going to cause you to walk in victory in spite of what you may have gone through. Amen? In spite of what you may have gone through. You'd be shocked what's in this room. But before this afternoon is over, I think we're going to unlock some things that's going to give you a grace and a peace you didn't have before. Is that all right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to share the word of God with the women of God. Let the anointing of God saturate this place while I'm teaching. Let the word be made flesh in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. You may be seated in this place. I will not spend a long time sharing the story of David and Bathsheba, but most of you know about David and Bathsheba, that Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah, and that while she was taking a bath, the king started having a pornographic moment and became a bit of a voyeur and eyed her and hunted her down and slept with her and then lied about it and then set it up to try to make it look like she was pregnant by Uriah by bringing Uriah home from the battlefield, where Uriah had gone out to war. And he brought Uriah home from the battlefield so that he would naturally go in and sleep with his wife on his one night off, and that would be his alibi for her pregnancy. It's smart. It was wrong, but it was smart. But God will let even smart plans go wrong to show you that he's God. And that he's absolute and that he's still in control. David never thought for one minute that Uriah was so committed to him that he would not go in and sleep with his wife on his one night off. He was that committed to the king's charge and wanted to be out there fighting with his men. And his loyalty messed up David's plan. So then David, not willing to concede and confess his sin at that point, went further and said, well, I'm going to have Uriah killed. And he sent him with a note back to the front lines of the battle, and Uriah was killed. I wish I had time to just work on Uriah, because you must understand it was not just David's adultery that brought sin down on his own head, but David broke a serious covenant with Uriah. And I often teach about how you have to be careful how you treat people under you. I believe the reason that God keeps bringing up Uriah in David's life, he doesn't just bring up adultery, he brings up Uriah. And the reason that Nathan came to David and said, you had all of these lambs, and Uriah only had one, and you took his one lamb, is because David's sin was against Uriah. Uriah was committed to him and in covenant with him. And you have to be careful when you get in leadership how you treat people under you. Because if you use their loyalty to destroy them, God will judge you. It's a principle of power, you must understand. When God puts you in power, he watches how you handle people under you. And it will hinder your relationship with the Lord. That's why God told husbands, if you don't treat your wife right, God said your prayers will be hindered. I'm watching how you handle power. And if you don't handle it right, I'm going to mess you up. Because you're not submitting correctly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now you have to watch that too, as God begins to raise you up and put you in a position of power, that you don't get arrogant and beside yourself and start abusing people who are loyal to you, because God will judge you because of that. Are you following what I'm saying? Funny how we can judge other people and be guilty ourselves. Truth be told, all of us have been hypocritical at one time or another. Judge somebody or somebody's child very harshly, and then your child got in the same situation. You wanted the whole church to go on a fast, and you got all your grace scriptures out, but you didn't have grace for other people. Come on, somebody. And God begins to deal with David. He begins to deal with David's heart. And now David is trying to correct what has become a crisis in his life, a crisis, just a crisis of all the wonderful things that David did, too numerous to name in this setting. David is probably more known for his incident with Bathsheba or Uriah's wife than he was anything else. All the victories he won, all the instruments he made, reestablishing a new style of worship and praise. David was ahead of his time. He was able to access the Holy of Holies, brought the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Obed-Edom, was able to fight back all of the Philistines and get the glory of God back into the tabernacle through praise and worship. David was ahead of his time, a tremendous leader, a mighty warrior, strong in battle, strong enough to fight and destroy hundreds of men by his own sword. David took the foreskins off 100 men and flung them down at the feet of the king. He was mighty in battle and yet sensitive enough to write poetry, creative enough to create instruments. David was awesome, but this one incident marred his entire life. Isn't it funny how one moment of weakness or passion or foolishness can mess up a glowing career and be a blot on the rest of your life? And people will define you by one mistake and forget everything positive you did. There's a certain vulnerability that goes along. Everybody wants to be in the spotlight. They want the light, but they can't handle the heat. You can't get bright light and not have hot heat. They go together. So before you start craving the spotlight, just count up the heat. Yeah, because it's a lot of heat up on this stage. And David was on this stage, and he got the light, and he had to deal with the heat, because you cannot always separate one from the other. And all of a sudden, he's in a situation where his newborn baby, now that he's taken Uriah's wife, is sick. And God says the baby's going to die. And David has wrapped himself up in sackcloth and ashes to pray down this terrible condition. It is interesting when we read in the text in Samuel about this incident, God is still referring to Bathsheba as Uriah's wife. And the interesting thing to note is Uriah is dead. Isn't it funny how something can be dead and still be over and people are still talking about it? It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It leaks out. It eats out. It flows out. And you're trying to go on about your business. You say that was then. This is now, but for somebody it's not over, and they keep bringing up your past. You'd be shocked what's in this room. You'd be shocked who's in this room. Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about the big name. There's some big names in here. There's some important, prestigious people. To me, everybody's important. But I'm not talking about all of that kind of stuff. You'd be shocked what's in this room. There's some doctors and lawyers and judges and CPAs and what have you in this room, business owners, entrepreneurs, women of God, women forging ministries on the battlefield for the Lord, pastors and pastors' wives and women of influence, book writers, authors, teachers. But that's not what I'm talking about today. You'd be shocked at how many abortions are in this room and how many lesbian experiences are in this room and how many adulterous affairs are in this room and how many people are in here with false pretense. You really don't have a degree, but you said you did. You got the job, and nobody knows that you really didn't get the degree. You just took business classes. You don't have a degree in it, but your legs are crossed, and you look all important, but people don't know the real deal. You'd be shocked at who came down here with bad credit, no credit, and some kind of credit, and holding their breath at the counter trying to see if the credit card was going to clear. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked what's in this room. You'd be shocked at the stories. I mean, ugly, strange, unusual stories. People are pregnant by their fathers and uncles and been molested and raped and abused and ostracized. Because if you live long enough, things happen along the way. They happen. They happen. They happen early in life. Sometimes they happen in the middle of your life. Sometimes they happen because because you're going through a crisis. Sometimes they happen because you're going through grief. Sometimes they happen because you wouldn't listen to anybody. There are a thousand ways to be wrong. Only one way to get right. But there's a thousand ways to get wrong. And any one of those paths will take you down the wrong path. And you'd be surprised how you go through things and get beyond it, and you try to get beyond it, and every time you try to get beyond it, somebody will bring it up or say something about it or refer to you as that. Here this woman is now the first lady of Israel. She is in a position of prominence. She's got chariots moving her in and out. She's got medical physicians at her beck and call. She has come to a place of prestige. She is now married into the upper echelon of Israel. She now has a tailor to make all of her custom outfits and dresses. Her shoes are custom made. Her jewelry is crafted and designed in such a way that to be the wife of the king would mean that even when you died, you would die surrounded in jewels and riches and majesty. David was rich. David was important. David was influential. She had arrived. She was there. And even at the pinnacle of success, they're still calling her Uriah's wife. What do you do when you get there and you're finally there and you finally arrive, but something you did out of your past is threatening to contaminate where you are right now? What do you do when people won't let you go on and they won't let you forget? And now you find yourself in a situation and something that was birthed out of sin is now sick and decayed. And this is one of the problems you must notice in this text. When David hears about the baby dying, David wraps himself up in sackcloth and ashes, and he begins to pray, and he begins to labor, and he begins to go before God, asking God to straighten out this crisis, because it is a terrible crisis in his life. And while David is fasting and praying, he gets word that the child is dead. And they don't even want to tell David that the child is dead, because they said if he was doing all of this before the child died, when he hears that the child is dead, he's going to go berserk. He's going to flip out. He's going to go off. There's been some times my wife wanted to tell all the kids, well, hold on, how are we going to tell daddy? You tell him. No, you tell him. You tell him. No, get mama to tell him. Mama, you tell him. They're and sometimes they think I would react one way, and I react totally different from what they expect. They thought David was just going to flip out and go crazy and go off and have a fit. And they told David that the child was dead, and David said, well, that's that. Let me wash my face, anoint myself with oil, change my clothes, get something to eat. That's over. But it wasn't over for Uriah's wife. Isn't it interesting that men can let go of things so much easier than women do? You very seldom run into a guy who's in love with somebody he hadn't seen for 5 years. Still believe in God. There's some kind of way we're going to get back together. I mean, let me tell you something, sister. Men, we cry hard, but we don't cry long. We have a fit, and we can't live without you. We can't breathe, and we're so upset, and we don't know what we're going to do if you don't make it, and if you don't come back to me. I mean, what I'm thinking, you know, you're the only one for me. You're the one. If you don't come back, we get somebody else. I'm telling you right now, it's the fact that we get somebody else. Don't play hard to get. We will get somebody else. We can be old, crippled, and blind and get somebody else. We can be fat, not kneed, bone-legged, and snaggletooth and get somebody fine and beautiful and wonderful. We will get somebody else. I have been pastoring for 32 years. I have seldom seen a man come up in a prayer line asking me to pray that their relationship would be worked out, that he's still helplessly in love with somebody who's gone on and married somebody else, but he knows, and deep down in his heart, that that's not who she should be with, that he's still the husband that she needs to have, and even though she's married to somebody else, in the spirit, they're still married. Men don't stay married in the spirit. It ain't nothing happening in the flesh, ain't nothing happening in the flesh. Come on, baby. But sisters can be married in the spirit. I don't understand what married in the spirit is, because I'm telling you, I don't have no revelation on that. I don't have it. You know. If we ever become one flesh, we ain't gonna be one nothing else. It just ain't. But y'all can love a picture. No, no, you don't even have to have a picture. You can have a cologne. And every time you smell a handkerchief that's got his cologne on it, it brings back law in heaven. You don't see no man sniffing no rag talking about, oh my God. Come on, somebody. We're just not going to stay with me. Stay with me. We're just not going to do that. Because you have to realize that you were created not only to give life, but to nurture life. You're nurturers. That's why when little kids get hurt and they got a good mama, and they run past everybody to get to mama, because mama the nurturer, oh, come here to mama. Let mama make it better. And mama nurtures you. She's breasted. She nurtures you. The baby lives off of her breast milk. She's a nurturer. She's not just a life giver. She's a nurturer. And that's a wonderful thing when we talk about babies. But it's a terrible thing when you start talking about pain. Because the same way that you nurture life, you nurture pain. And when pain gets down in you, if you don't walk in the Word, you will hold on to pain for years and bring it to your breast and nurture it at your bosom, and you will keep the pain alive. You will keep it alive because you do not let it go. I don't understand that as a man. I will let it go. I will dismiss you. I will release you. I will disconnect you. I will disfellowship you. Over. See you. We are finito. It's over. I'm telling you right now, I don't have to get mad. I don't have to flip out. I can cut you out of the picture like you were not even there. I won't feel hostility. I won't feel anger. I won't feel nothing. You are gone. I can forget that your mama had you. I'm telling you, with no sweat, I can release it. David washed his face, and he was done. But Bathsheba was still grieving, and rightfully so. She lost the child. She made a mistake. No doubt she felt guilty. She had a hard time going on with her life. And what happens most of the time when men start ministering to women, we can be snide. Just get over it. Let it go. I counsel couples all the time. I just got back from California. I was doing a show. Dr. Phil asked me to do some counseling with him that I just came back from on the Dr. Phil show. And the woman is up there. The man has had 50 affairs in 5 years. And he referred to it as a mistake. I said, a mistake is showing up late for the kids' choir rehearsal. This is not a mistake. This is a disaster. 50 affairs in 5 years, and she's got 3 kids in 5 years. So all while she was pregnant, all while she didn't, I said, God, man, wow. He reduced it down to a mistake, and he looks at her and basically says, get over it. But what do you do when something has happened that you can't get over? And now you're in the situation, as she is in, that David has now washed his face and gone on about his business, but Bathsheba is still grieving. Now, the funny thing, her womb is empty of life, but now it is filled with pain. And now she is nurturing her pain. Are you holding on to something that you need to let go? See, before we deal with how other people remember, the first thing we got to deal with is how you remember. Before we deal with their ability to forgive you, I want to talk about your ability to forgive yourself. Because many, many times, everybody else has gone on with their life, and you still got this guilt nursing at the breast of your thinking, holding on to something that you need to let go of. And the Bible says that when David washes his face, he has service, he has dinner. Most theologians agree that this was the point when David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was back shouting again, and she was still crying. You'd be surprised at the secret pains we bear. It's amazing how you can be dressed up and looking good and doing so well that other people are jealous of you. Jealous of you. And don't have a clue that beneath all of that silk and lace, you are harboring all kinds of pain and injustice and hurt and insecurity, and you got it, and you're just going on with it, and you smile, and you dress, and you look nice, and nobody knows that beneath it all, you are vulnerable and tired and insecure and worried and oppressed, and you have to fight the haters all the while you're fighting with one hand and trying to heal yourself with the other hand, because nobody has a clue what you have been going. Am I talking right in here or not? Tell somebody, say, you don't have a clue what I've been through. You don't have a clue. I smile over top of pain. I endure stuff. That's like, you don't have a clue what I've been through. I remember one time my wife got sick, got the flu or something. She was coughing and sniffing and getting the kids off to school and getting everybody ready and pressing something for me and going on about her business. You know, I said, you look like you don't feel good. She said, I know, but I'll be all right. I said, okay. I went on about my business. About 2 days later, I got it. I normally don't get stuff from her like that because when she gets sick, you know, I quarantine her. I pray her strength in the Lord. I speak the word of faith, and we lay down at night, she faced the east, I face the west, and pray for deliverance. In some kind of way, and I guess in a weak moment or something, I don't know what happened. I believe that out of the story, but I got it too. I got it. I got it. Well, Lord, when I got it, I got the coughing, I couldn't breathe, I was nauseated. I was all afflicted. I was sick. I canceled all appointments. I told him nobody's going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I wanted my chicken noodle soup. I wanted my Binky and my mama. Go get mama. I'm sick. And I said, this is what you had? You felt like this? She said, yeah. But I kept on going. I said, why do you keep on going when you're feeling that bad? Why don't you just stop and act like you're important enough to take a day off and get yourself back? I don't understand how you all keep on going over top of all kind of stuff, and if how you feel doesn't matter, sometimes you have to stop and say, wait a minute, I am important too, and I've got to get over this so I can go on with my life. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but before you can go to the next level, you got to get rid of the things behind you and get released so that you can go on with your future. I'm tired of seeing these church monkeys shouting all over the church and not being delivered, dancing and hooping and hollering, slaying in the spirit, falling out, talking in tongues, and getting up hateful and foul and frustrated. Let's get down to business and see somebody really get delivered and really be set free. I hate to bust your bubble, but if all the noise that you see in these conferences was real, dead people would be raised from the dead, sick people would be walking, bound people would be loose. But because we're shouting over calamities, disasters, crisis, emotional disorders, we're making a lot of noise, but we're not producing any power, because with God, you've got to stop and deal with some stuff so that you can go to the next level. Am I in the right house today? Shake somebody's hand and say, I want to go to the next level. So I can't have stuff pulling on me, tugging on me, yanking on me, holding me down and pulling me back. If I'm going to go to the next level, I've got to be free and loose and untangled to go to the next level. Glory to God. I need you to help me preach. Look at your sister and say, something's about to happen in your life. That's why you had to be at this conference. You had to be at this conference. You tried to get your girlfriends to go. Some of them wouldn't go. It wasn't for them. It was for you, because you got to go to the next level. You got to go to the next dimension. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at somebody and say, this is for me. You can have secret things pulling at you, secret things holding you down, secret things weighing your mind, secret things taking your rest, secret things making you eat too much, secret things making your blood pressure go up, secret things giving you diabetes, and before this week is over, you're hanging out. Look at the next guy, I got to get this off of me. Oh, God promised me if I teach this to you, there's going to be some deliverance in here today. God promised me if I would teach this, somebody was going to be set free in here today. Oh, yeah, somebody's about to weave that thing that's been hanging on you. It's been hanging on you like a pole. But God is getting ready to cut that thing off of you and set you free in the name of Jesus. Give him a praise in this hour. David was able to get himself together. He now takes on the task of ministering, I wanted to say to his wife, but isn't it funny how you can have these complicated situations? Is that your daughter? Well, yes. Y'all been married? Well, we've been together for 20 years. We've been married 70. Isn't it funny how you have these complicated situations? If people were to write your life story, you know, there's some chapters you want them to leave out. And that's why people are so quick to tell you none of your business. Because when you start asking certain questions and you're just trying to make conversation, you have struck a nerve because you have run into a situation. What do you mean, where do I work? None of your business. It wouldn't be none of my business if it wasn't a situation. But when you got a complicated situation, you don't want to talk about it. And so you just carry it. And she was just carrying it, the grief and the pain and the guilt. She was just carrying it. David was free, gone back to church dancing, ate him a big prime rib dinner and a baked potato, sour cream on it, chives, onions, cheese, yeast rolls, Caesar salad. I just got off a plane too, I feel your pain. And she couldn't eat, she couldn't drink because she's still nurturing. And the Bible said David came in to comfort her. And this word comfort is to sedate, to get her past the pain, to sedate her, to get her out of this rut, to bring her to a place of healing. Why? Perhaps David knows that there is a king in her. There is a king that shall come forth out of this grieving woman that will project the lineage through which Christ himself would be born. That this woman, with her situation, was about to produce a Solomon, a beloved child of God that would perpetuate the bloodline for which the Lamb of God himself would be born. And do not tell me that God used Uriah's wife because he didn't have anybody else. He could have used Abigail. He could have used Michal. He could have used one of them hundreds and hundreds of concubines that David had. But he chose a complicated woman with a situation and said, if I can ever get you to stop grieving over your past, I'm going to show you how I can use your past to determine your future. God, why does God put kings in complicated situations? Every gifted, anointed, powerfully used woman of God I have ever known. In fact, every extremely gifted, important, prestigious CEO I've ever known. Every gifted, talented artist I've ever known or writer I've ever known has come from a complicated situation. Complicated situation. Abraham Lincoln flunked everything that he ever did. Failed every test. Couldn't win in the primaries. Couldn't win an election. Flunked out of school. Got in all kind of trouble and ended up being one of the most legendary presidents in our country. The founder of Wendy's, Dave Thomas, didn't even have a degree. Complicated situation. Talented enough to walk with the most intellectual people around him, and he himself didn't even have a degree. Bill Gates, I mean, you'd be surprised at the people who survive complicated situations and rise up to gifted single mothers who become CEOs over corporations, and now you've arrived in the spotlight, but you got spots in the light. Now you've arrived in the spotlight, but you've got spots in the light. Now you're the first lady. Yes, you're the first lady, but you've got a few situations. I know you're not going to say nothing today because you got your makeup on. But when you wash your face tonight, you can be real. There's some situations up in here. There's some issues up in here. In fact, you cannot get the oil of God's anointing to come out without pressure. It is the pressure and the pain that secretes the anointing of God in the first place. And to him whom much is given, much is required. And God knows the right pressure to get the oil to come out of your life. You don't pray because you're so holy and you're so perfect. You pray because you desperately need the Lord every day and every hour and every minute. And without him, you cannot make it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He comforted her. He comforted her. The comforting separates her from the crisis. God wants to heal you so you can go ahead. Not for you to fake like you're free. Do you see these people go buck wild and tear up furniture and step on top of people and break their shoes and kick their leg and gotta go home in a brace? You're not dancing, you're fighting. You're kung fu fighting in the spirit. Your spirit is not free. Your spirit is not free. If you knock my teeth out, black my eyes, bust my lip, try to praise the Lord, it's not because you're anointed, it's because you're bound. When you really get free, I can move you with my finger to the left or the right. The Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. These wild, crazy spirits, these are not the spirits of God. This is just out of control. You're fighting in the spirit. You're kicking in the spirit. You're not free. But God wants you to be free. David came in and he comforted her. And then he slept with her. And all of a sudden, this woman, in the complicated situation, who the Bible refers to as Uriah's wife, who's got a situation that is so difficult that even after he's dead, we're still talking about it, is now carrying the next king of Israel. Ladies, sisters, do you have any idea what you are carrying? If you can release the pain and the guilt and the condemnation out of this womb, this womb that have engaged in adultery and fornication, that got pregnant through an illicit affair, this is the same womb that will push out the next king of Israel. You talking about reposition yourself? Girlfriend reposition herself on another level. I'm telling you right now, if you can live with the rolling of people's eyes, the snide remarks, the notes, and the gossip while they're getting their hair done, God is going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you will not have room enough to receive. If you can live with people whispering and looking at your funny and saying, oh, she's not so much. I knew her when. I heard something about her. She's not so hard. If you can live with the controversy, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive. But as you go up and as you move forward and as you go on, you got to know that there's a king inside of you. Let somebody say there's a king inside of me. I've been through some crisis. I've made some mistakes. I've had some issues. I've had some setbacks. I've had some dilemmas. But in spite of all of that, there is a king inside of me.
Wow, 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 wow. This was so good. Wow. I mean, I hope you guys were taking notes. This was so encouraging, and we're about to go over our time. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to just close the show out. But I pray that that encouraged every woman that listened tonight. And I know a lot of you are going to listen to it in the archives, probably tomorrow at work or things of that nature. Listen, share this with another woman. I mean, you know, he gave like a lot of pointers, you know, how we kind of stay in relationships in our minds and in our hearts and things like that. Talking about we married to folks in the spirit and all that and brought men and moved on and things like that. And this is how women, you know, you kind of lose yourself and something that's not even existing anymore. Oftentimes when I do women's conference and it's about relationships and things of that nature, I often the Holy Spirit often leads me in that. And I got to admit, T.D. Jakes is right. Because some of you can be with a great guy, married to a great man, but you couldn't let go who it was in the past. And in most cases, there's a reason you left that relationship. There's a reason you left that person. So, you know, and then you won't give the person you're with 100% of you because of something in the past. You know, when I teach soul tie conferences, I'm often able to explain this in details. Well, I hope that you were blessed tonight, amen, with this encouraging word, and I hope you took notes and things of that nature. And if you was encouraged, if you was blessed by this message and you took notes, do this. Share this with some other sister tomorrow. Amen. Sit down and have a cup of coffee with her tomorrow. Have lunch with her tomorrow and encourage her in the spirit. Brothers, you too. If this is you and you realize this is how your girlfriend thinks or this is how your wife thinks, now you have the information. Glory to God. Now you have the information how to handle her properly and things of that nature. And listen, do all that you can. Stay in prayer. Stay in the word of God. Stay in your lane. Amen. So you don't end up reaping something that was sown. I often tell people, repent, ask for forgiveness if you've done something to offend the Holy Spirit when it comes to relationship. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I thank you so much for tuning in to TKD Global Radio and Broadcast. I'll see you again this Thursday, amen, and don't for work the word Thursday. But listen, tonight before you go to bed, don't forget to pray for Baltimore, Maryland, amen, everything that's going on there. We pray in the beginning of the broadcast, but just say a prayer, amen, for everyone in Baltimore. I love you. Have a blessed night, and I'll see you again on Work the Word Thursday. You know who it is. It's your big sis, the King's Daughter, Prophet LaSondra Coleman. Have a blessed night. Bye.